As a Democratic leader in the House of Representatives in Georgia, I did a number of speeches around the state talking about the work that I'd done to achieve that role. And as an entrepreneur, I spent a lot of time talking to young entrepreneurs, to women. And as I went from life to life, from being a legislator to being an entrepreneur, I got the same question. How did you do this and how can I do it? I realized early on that what I thought I could accomplish was often limited by my ability to find someone who had done it before. And once my ambitions exceeded what I'd seen, my responsibility was to figure out, okay, if I can't find someone who's done it, how do I make it up for myself? And part of the reason for Lead from the Outside is that that's a hard thing to do. It's hard to imagine without having a template. And I think for anyone who's from a marginalized community, who's from the outside, we have to acknowledge that there won't always be a roadmap.
So I want to talk a little bit about your spreadsheet, and this is how you start the book. It's so fascinating to see someone sit down and say, I'm going to plan out the next 40 years of my life. I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit more about why the spreadsheet and what it's done for you.
I really wanted to lay out what was I going to do and how was I going to do it. If I'm going to be successful, I need to know how. And I'd not come from a community that had a lot of examples. For me, this was an opportunity to both do something cathartic, but also it was the beginning of my aggressive planning for my future.
So you were in college when you first created this spreadsheet. Are you still using it now? And how much has it changed over time?
Oh, yeah. I update it not annually, but when things happen, when new opportunities present themselves, when an election for the political side doesn't turn out the way I thought it would, I have regularly gone back to it because, again, it's a lodestar, but it's also a reminder. Why do I want the things I want? So, for example, as I was considering running for the Senate, you know, in light of not having become governor in Georgia, I wanted to return to that question and say, you know, why am I in politics? What am I here to do? Does the Senate make sense? And it had never been in my spreadsheet. It had never been one of the alternative ideas for me because I did not see myself in the legislative space outside of the state legislature. And by revisiting the spreadsheet, by remembering and really thinking through what had led me to the other steps I'd taken, I realized while the Senate is an extraordinary opportunity and I think absolutely winnable, it's not the right job for me.
Have you decided then what your next steps are?
I have not decided yet, and I'm giving myself the space to be undecided. I have had, you know, I've been very privileged to have a number of folks push me to run for the presidency. I don't know if that's the job that I want now. I certainly have been very clear that eventually I would like to tackle the challenges that I see for our country from the position of the CEO of the nation. And then there's always the opportunity to run for governor again in 2022. And so for me, the immediate issue was deciding whether to run for the Senate or not, because that's a discrete decision that needed to be made, not just for me, but for others who were thinking about the role. And now I've got some time and I'm going to use it.
Well, you have a lot of big decisions to make, and we're all excited to hear what you eventually decide to do next. Speaking of the presidential race, I'm curious to hear about your perspective on the Democratic primary. And if you see some of the similar patterns that you felt in your personal race kind of playing out in this initial stage.
I think we need to be very concerned about any regression to a normative assumption of what a president looks like. And that means the press and the punditry need to be pushing and listening to the conversations coming not only out of the women running, but also the people of color running. We have an opportunity to have a robust, diverse, and inclusive primary, and we should revel in that. The extent to which we find ourselves only talking to white men is deeply problematic, and only talking about white men, not because they aren't valid and viable candidates. We have to recognize that we can be broader than that, not that we should be exclusive. And so for me, it's not that we should take away any conversation about anyone else running, but we need to press everyone to expand their sense of what is possible. In my own race, I found often this very narrow description of what I was able to talk about and the questions I should be asked based purely on what I look like. And that did a disservice not only to me, but to my opponents and to my potential constituents. we look to the press, we look to those thought leaders to actually challenge our thinking and to expand our thinking, not to engage in a lazy analysis that says the only thing that is good is what we already know.